Plans to build new natural gas power plants in southeastern Wisconsin attracted protests. Advocates say they'll bring jobs. It's Wednesday, March 26. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, Wisconsin's candidates for state superintendent are getting big money from political parties. And scientists say the discovery of cougar cubs in Upper Michigan could be a sign the species is making a comeback. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Dozens of people are calling on state regulators to block a more than $2 billion plan to build new natural gas infrastructure. As Joel Schultz reports, the Public Service Commission held hearings on two key pieces of that plan yesterday.
Residents weighed in on We Energy's plans to build a new natural gas plant and a liquid gas storage facility in Oak Creek. They have a combined price tag of over $1.6 billion. Racine resident Gloria Randall Hewitt called on regulators to block the plan. She says the company should invest in renewables instead.
The logical move would be for We Energies to build battery storage, not new methane gas plants.
Labor unions testified in favor of the project. Here's Dan Whitaker with a carpenters union in Pewaukee.
At Peak Construction, this project alone will sustain the careers of 800 workers and their families.
We Energies is also asking regulators to approve another gas plant in Kenosha County and a pipeline in southeast Wisconsin. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin lawmakers will weigh whether to allow hunting of sandhill cranes under a bill introduced this month. The proposal would also provide aid for corn growers experiencing damage from the birds. Surveys show there's now about 51,000 sandhill cranes in Wisconsin. As their numbers have grown, the birds have caused nearly 2 million in crop damage. Republican lawmakers and hunting advocates say the current management plan allows a potential hunt once the population exceeds 30,000 birds. But Melissa Johnson with Wisconsin's Green Fire says that plan is outdated.
We set these thresholds based on information we have at the time. And science and data is always changing as we start bringing in new information.
The International Crane Foundation wants to separate the proposal to hunt cranes from aid for farmers. Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal includes more than $3.7 million to help growers experiencing damage from the birds. The race for state superintendent is racking up a big price tag. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, both political parties have poured money into the nonpartisan race.
Wisconsin's Republican and Democratic parties have spent millions backing preferred candidates to oversee the state's K-12 schools. Incumbent Jill Underley has received about $1.1 million since February. Of that, $850,000 came from the Democratic Party. Her challenger Brittany Kinzer has outraised her. Kinzer has received almost $1.7 million from the Republican Party. They support her pro-school choice policies. Republicans haven't typically been big spenders in these races. Although it's a nonpartisan office, the state superintendent is often closely aligned with teachers' unions. Democratic Governor Tony Evers used to hold the position. He has declined to endorse in the race. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss endorsed Kinzer, saying she's the GOP's best option in decades. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Two cougar cubs were spotted in Michigan's Upper Peninsula this month. As Rob Menser reports, biologists say it's likely just a matter of time before the big cats establish populations in Wisconsin.
The sighting was the first time in more than a century that cougar cubs have been verified in a Great Lakes state. Cougar populations are growing in the Dakotas and in Nebraska. Before they were almost hunted to extinction in the early 20th century, they lived in virtually all parts of the continent. Randy Johnson is a carnivore specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says there's ample prey and hunting ground in Wisconsin to support them.
this could potentially be the turning point, if you will, of the next 100 years of cougars slowly recolonizing, you know, establishing a population once again in this region.
Johnson and others warn there's not enough data yet to know for sure whether the animals are living and reproducing in the region. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we have a story from Wisconsin Life about finding your happy place. It's probably not what you're expecting. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Life is cheering you on.
Who wants to see some ski jumping?
The way I throw my ball, it was so slow that the pin boy just about fell asleep before it hit.
I got icicles on my eyebrows right now. That's why I love broomball.
I can teach him how to be a hockey player, and he can teach me how to play curling.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about reflecting on safe spaces.
Many of us have places that make us feel comfortable. Perhaps it's a bookstore or a bar. For writer David Shee, it's a place much bigger. He shared the following story about that space at a live Wisconsin Life storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely.
Last November, the city where I've lived for the past 25 years suddenly felt a bit more like home. Eau Claire was finally getting a Costco. Don't get me wrong, I shop locally when I can. Still, I'm left to wonder how an outpost of a multinational corporation can beckon to me with such hospitality. It has something to do with my father, who loved warehouse clubs, and whose death 5 years ago occasioned the writing of my memoir, Chinese Prodigal. In the 80s, shopping wholesale in the North Dallas suburbs where I grew up meant Sam's Club. Its monstrous sleeves of beef jerky rode shotgun to my father in his commercial cube van. A small business owner, he drove it hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles a week to trade shows across the South. In 1999, when, at age 65, he used that same cube van to move my fiancée Robin and me to Eau Claire, I think it was a great comfort to him that my new home rated a Sam's Club at least. David will be safe here, he may have thought. In time, my parents grew to prefer Costco. It pained them to pay retail for anything. But Costco's appeal must go deeper than how much they liked a good deal. Asians are almost twice as likely to shop there, as are other racial and ethnic groups. Maybe part of it is recognizing the food from home in a way that makes you feel seen and not tokenized, because there is a ton of it. In our Costco, I saw a pallet with hundreds of golden jars of ghee stacked as high as my chest. They're never gonna sell all that ghee here, I thought. Nevertheless, there it sat, next to the more popular baking supplies, not segregated into a specialty ethnic aisle. But the appeal of Costco is more than being seen by it. For my father, I think cavernous warehouse clubs were like a safe space, offering an uncommon anonymity amid the crush of public life. He loved having the time and the elbow room to study something you wanted from all angles before arriving at your own decision and on your own terms. He never got comfortable speaking English with salespeople. Outside of the house, like so many immigrants, he usually just wanted to be left alone. But that didn't mean he wanted to be alone or to feel that way in a crowd. One dark winter evening, Robin and I hit up Costco just for fun. The parking lot was lit up like a truck stop, but mostly empty. It was so unlike every other Costco I had been to, all of them unfailingly packed with humanity of all colors and ages. I snapped a few photos to brag on social media to my people in Texas about how good we had it up here. At that moment, I knew a couple of things to be true. One was that I wasn't going to be the only Asian inside. The other was that, despite my eagerness, I couldn't say what it was exactly that I needed from there. Thank you.
David Shee shared that piece at a live storytelling event in Eau Claire at the Lakely. It was hosted by WPR's Wisconsin Life and the Chippewa Valley Writers Guild. To hear Shee's full story, go to wisconsinlife.org or check out the Wisconsin Life podcast. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Honestly, I can really resonate with David Shee's story. Growing up, Costco was and is a staple of my weekend activities with my family. Even when we went on and continue to go on family vacations sometimes, we always have to hit up the local Costco to see what they have there. It's different at every single location, in my opinion. But anyways, now a quick check in weather before we let you go today. It's going to be a beautiful spring day, partly sunny and a bit warmer on this Wednesday. High temperatures can reach the mid-40s up north to mid-50s in the south. That's today's podcast. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Rob Mentzer. We'll be back again tomorrow in your podcast feeds. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Have a great day.